Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dr. Daniel Zangrilli has entered the studio. How are you, Dan?
Good. Greetings. Welcome to the machine.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yep.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You know Dan from all the Pirate stuff, pregame, postgame, Saturdays, whatever else Dan does. He's the guy on the Pirates. He's the guy I was listening to last night. I don't know what time it was, 9:30 or so on the post game, and people were unhappy. And the Pirates were turned over in order 6 different times in the game. And part of the theme of the post game, Dan, was how do you rectify this? Like, is this going to have to get torn up again? How close are they? How close are they not? I've maintained they have the equivalent of a franchise quarterback in not just Skeens, but young pitching. Led by a stud like that, to me, that's the hard part. That's the equivalent of having a franchise guy in the NFL. And if you have one, to me at least, you are by definition pretty close. You're pretty close, and yet so far. So how do they get there? Where do they find hitters? Where do they find one star hitter?
So let me ask you this, and because I don't know really the answer to this question, and it's the one that gives me pause, just like I'm assuming it gives you pause. If the Pirates have done the hardest thing well,
yes,
and that is draft, develop, and extrapolate as much possible value with their pitching, have they done a good job?
No.
If they have checked the toughest box to check, and if we agree that pitching is the best way to sustain something, have they done a good job? Or is it a good enough job to keep their jobs?
No.
Okay.
In a word, and I would compare it to the Cincinnati Bengals, who have Joe Burrow. Well, how'd they get him? The same way the Pirates got Skeens, by sucking.
Well, I mean,
that's one thing. But they haven't even been able to build a modicum of a defense. Now, they did get to the Super Bowl 1 year, but when you look at Burrow as a whole, it's getting worse. It's getting worse. You look at last year. So I think to myself, all right, you got kind of lucky to get him. You can't even build a semi-respectable defense, and to translate that to the Pirates, like, am I still watching Spencer Horwitz as your cleanup hit? You can't even, you have a historically bad lineup? Really? You can't do better than that. That's my answer.
So, again, do you then make a change and then upend all of that? Because it's really hard to put together what they've put together from a pitching side of things, Joe. That's what gives me pause.
Or did they just get lucky?
With all of the arms?
Or bad?
With all of the arms? I don't know. I mean, they fixed Keller. They have some pretty good bullpen success stories. And I'm not sitting here defending them. I'm just asking the question and trying to look at it objectively.
Yeah, no, I hear that. So, but without Skeens, none of the other ones matter. I mean, he makes it all. Yeah, he makes it all come together. We wouldn't be talking about their rotation.
But to say it doesn't matter, I don't know. I mean, they fixed Keller. You know, Chandler's on the precipice. Barco's on the precipice. They have a lot of internal pitching success stories to the point where it's an area of strength. A surplus, if you will, that's actually a pretty decent job. I don't give them passes for where they're at in year 6, but when we talk about change is a big deal in baseball.
Yeah.
Do you undo that change? With the change, do you undo that success?
Well,
and how, I mean, how much is that success weighted in what you're talking about?
The arms are here. So that part's been done. Somebody else may have to come in and do the rest. I mean, the Tigers had a regime change, right, in the midst of what was a very long rebuild, as you were talking about last night.
Yeah.
Somebody else, it would seem to me, would need to come in and finish the job here.
So we're talking about, which a lot of general managers don't want to do, Joe, is come into a halfway built house.
Yeah.
With drywall on the walls, but it's unfinished. The light fixtures aren't there. They may not see a pathway forward, and they may say, hey, guess what? I've got to start parsing off assets here, and I've got to unless you're under strict parameters, the owner hires you with a caveat that you can't do this, that, or the other thing.
Right.
You know, you inherit the manager. You inherit, you know, these guys are untouchable. They're off limits.
Right.
What GM is going to want to come in? I don't know. I don't think I can do that. That's not the way that I would come in and build that team. I mean, then you're taking an already narrow search and bringing it even into a, you're looking for a needle in a haystack of a GM.
Well, there's only, 30 of these things on planet Earth. So every job is a good job to me, even with the Pirates. And then the other side of that is just what we're talking about. If I was a GM candidate and walked into Bob Nutting's office, I'm pounding my fist on the table and saying, Bob, you're this close. You're this close. You have Paul Skeens. You have all these young arms. I need to be able to parlay some of them, not Skeens, some of them into what you don't have, which is, you know, the Bengals defense is what you have right now. And it's only going to take a couple, but I have to be able to do that. We have to sign one guy, and then I've got to be able to parlay some of these arms into another guy. We're this close. Nobody wants to believe that. I believe that. You can build a bullpen. The bullpen, it looks good right now to me. You've got the starters. This guy has done a historically hideous job finding, developing, signing, trading for hitters. I'm walking into Nutting's offense and saying, I can do that. I can finish this job.
So if they're this close, change is still necessary, in your opinion, though.
So close and yet so far. When we say this close, he has to find hitters.
It's almost like a backhanded compliment of saying, hey, good job, right?
No.
Okay.
Because so close yet so far, again, we have the hard part figured out, but this guy's had 6 years to find hitters. He doesn't have people knocking on the door at AAA.
Hey, Billy Cook's coming up.
Ron's long lost son. I'm very proud of him. I understand your point. I think we both have points here.
And it's more of a devil's advocate point. I think I'm more inclined, Joe, to agree with you. But I try to look at this objectively. And when you talk about change, and if you're going to advocate for it, and if you're going to push the yes button for change, what does that button actually do? What does it mean? And that's
The no button mean first?
The no means you just try to, if they're that close, and I don't know what yard line they're on, while the organization and the regime has plenty of faults and as many success stories as they've had, they probably have a lot more stories of failure where they've fallen short. But what yard line are they on? And if you're this close, and we're talking about working this within the Skeens window, right? Because that's the true deadline that everybody is on.
Right.
Then if you push that change button, what does it do to that timeline? What does it do?
It should accelerate it. That would be the reason for doing it.
You would hope so.
I need Jim Rutherford. I'm getting to in the Penguins' case, I'm getting to the playoffs every year. We can't score in the playoffs. We're not winning in the playoffs. Not only are we close, we're actually there. We're in the playoffs every year. We can't finish the deal. What do? You bring in a hired gun, a guy who's not afraid to wheel and deal and try to get you what you need. And that's exactly what he did. I don't think that Ben Cherington can do that on the offensive side, and you have to have that side. He's done nothing to inspire any confidence that him and his people can identify and find hitters, and you can't win without any.
Sure. So how far is close? That's the question. How far is close? I can't quantify that. I don't know how far close is.
Couple hitters, three hitters. Like, I think only like one star hitter would get them around 500 or above, which is by definition contending. But to actually win, how close is close? About three high impact hitters.
That may be much further than close.
Hence the riddle. So close and yet so far.
Where's my Rasputin beard?
Right. I mean, but if I can go sign Tommy Pham and Adam Frazier and whoever the hell else and just pull that into one guy for a couple of years, Jock Peterson has fallen off a cliff here. I don't know what happened to him, but that type of deal.
Paul Goldschmidt, Reese Hoskins.
2 years, $30 million. Then I take, I don't know, a Bubba Chandler, some of these other young arms, and parlay them into a little higher level of a deal than Ortiz for Horwitz. But man, have you seen what Ortiz is doing lately?
No, I haven't, but I would venture a guess.
Last seven starts, something like a 2.79 ERA.
Predictable.
All right, Dan. That was an interesting talk.
So,
would you like to complete it from your end?
No, I mean, I think we've covered all the ground, and I think the solution and the tweak here is in line with what you're saying and something that I spoke at length with a really good call that we had on the postgame show last night. It's maybe if you're going to have $30, $35 million rather than, you know, chop that up into little itty-bitty pieces that don't move the needles, I think that, yes, a bigger aircraft carrier type of bat that you could just drop in fourth, fifth, that might be a couple of years, that might be 15 to 18 million, almost what they did with Aroldis Chapman. That was actually a successful free agent acquisition. It was a big chunk, big dollar amount, but they went for it in that respect, and I think it was a really pivotal part of that bullpen. And I'm just thinking of deals that have come and gone. You know, Reese Hoskins is a really nice pickup for the Brewers.
They went cheaper and brought in Rowdy.
And then you have Paul Goldschmidt, you know, who I don't know if he would have signed here, but that didn't seem to be all that untenable for the Yankees. There was a ton of risk considering where he's at, how old he is, where he's in his career, but it's where, and maybe he's a bigger byproduct of their infrastructure, their system, plopping him in that lineup versus the Pirates lineup. He's going to flourish there far more than he would here, having to be the guy as opposed to, you know, the sixth best guy in the Yankees lineup. But yeah, Goldschmidt would have been really nice in this lineup, I think.
Yeah, man. I saw Jim Bowden. We're talking to Dan Zangrilli here in studio. I saw where Jim Bowden over at The Athletic was advocating six trades he would like to see. The one for the Pirates to me was interesting, but just comical. May I read? Have you seen it yet?
I haven't, but let's
peruse it.
Let's indulge.
This was his sixth one. Pirates trade David Bednar to the Tigers for outfielder Chris Rodriguez. Okay, so the Tigers need another high leverage reliever. Enter Bednar. Blah blah blah. Okay, in this scenario, the Pirates would get Rodriguez, who is only 17 and at least 4 years from the majors. Dan, why don't they go out and get a 9-year-old at this point and trade for one and just project him ahead to when he's 23? So he signed with Detroit for like a $3 million international bonus. He's an incredibly talented kid, but there's no time for that at the moment. We don't have time for an 11-year-old to come here and develop into a baseball player. They have to find players who can help them now. Dan just talked about the window. By the way, the window for O'Neill Cruz is going to shut pretty soon.
Sure. I mean, the time's ticking, man. It really is. No, I would not make that deal if, as we've heard from the owner himself, the urgency is on now. They need to make more now moves. And throw another fly in the ointment. Who's going to play shortstop if and when they trade IKF at the deadline? He's probably going to be their most valuable trade chip, assuming there'll be sellers at the deadline, assuming that they aren't going to embark on an extension for Kiner Falefa. Who plays shortstop?
Triolo?
Technically, yes.
I guess him.
For real.
Gonzalez?
For real.
For real.
For real.
Michael McHenry says we could see Connor Griffin sometime next season. Do you think that's realistic?
I mean, he's on a trajectory here that's very fast. Let's see when he gets to AA, and maybe that is this year.
This could be next week he gets to AA. Yeah, I know. He's killing high A.
Sure, and remember, their ballpark is a joke, too, down there. So look at the home road splits and dive deep into those numbers. I'm not going to get a twofold there because it's, again, a huge, I mean, it's a ridiculous
is it
ballpark. It's a joke.
The grasshopper playing a small ballpark? That seems fitting.
A grasshopper can leap from home plate and get
over
the left
field
wall.
Their leadoff hitter is Jiminy Cricket, I heard. Go ahead, Dan.
So, yeah, I mean, let's see when he gets to Double A, when he sees real arms in a really pitching-friendly league like...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Eastern League, but that would be wonderful if Connor Griffin is here playing shortstop. And again, there's questions as to whether he's going to be a big, almost the same O'Neill Cruz type of, I don't want to call it predicament that they have,
yeah.
But who's going to play shortstop? The Pirates don't have a shortstop. And I don't suspect IKF is here in August because there's going to be a lot of teams. He's going to fit so nicely on a lot of contenders, and the offense is going to be, I think, at a premium, and people are going to be willing to pay a big price for that. So I think you can, of all the trade chips, I'd probably rank them IKF, Frazier, and then maybe Heaney.
Unless they're willing to dig into like a big
maybe
pitching trade, like a Keller.
Right. And I think if you're going to deal Keller, you know, you probably almost have to package Hayes in that to get rid of the
please,
money.
Please, please, please. I can't watch that. I'm like the guy, do we have the Zangrilli clip where the guy says, please, Dan, what does he say? What's the famous, that guy? That is every Pirate fan. IKF. I can't watch Key Brian Hayes anymore. I can't do it, Dan. Play that guy again. I can't watch it anymore. He just strolls out there every day and tops four balls in a row and never gets a hit. He never gets a hit. What are they going to do with him? What would you do with him?
I mean, it's Exhibit A as to, you know, long-term contracts and the inherent risk.
Oh, my God.
I mean, the Orioles choked on, what was it, the Chris Young deal?
Chris
or
Davis.
Whatever, Chris Davis deal forever, and now the Rockies are choking on the Chris Bryant deal as we speak.
But at least those guys had prodigious offensive seasons. This guy's had a good month.
Yeah, you rolled the dice and you tried to extend one of your own, and here you sit with whatever this is.
What is this? What are they going to do? What? Nothing? How about if Triolo just plays for a while? How about if there's at least a tiny sliver of accountability where we say, you know what? You stink offensively. Triolo right now looks like Mike Schmidt at the plate compared to you. He's actually been hitting well. Play him for a while at third. Just please do something. I can't watch it anymore.
You okay?
No.
I love you.
That's what you said to him.
That's all I can do.
That's what you said to him.
This is what I do. I just wrap my arms around everybody.
You're part therapist.
And
you should charge money for this stuff. You really should. Okay, let me ask you a couple of quick questions.
By all means.
We'll just do quick answer, quick
yes, sir.
Question. Is Bart going back to be the starting pitcher? Because that makes no sense.
No,
you have to find out.
They've got to split that. I'm more inclined to actually lean towards Davis because there's not much slug in Bart's game right now. So I think you have to go, you know, three on, four off, four on, three off, or alternate. You got to split that down the middle. Again, favoring Davis because there's more invested in him.
Right.
But, you know, Bart's positional flexibility would be a really nice thing if they could develop that. I like him. You know, maybe you have a Horwitz-Bart platoon at first base because Bart has hit left-handers well. He just needs to slug more.
All right, let's move around the diamond. When they went out and got Spencer Horwitz, Keith Law said the Pirates were looking for a first baseman, and guess what? They still are, because this guy is not the answer. he deserves more time, I think, Dan, but man, he does not look like an answer to me.
No, the early returns aren't great. How chronic is this wrist injury? How much of a factor is it as he plays? I don't know if he's 100%. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not saying anything as if I'm hearing things, but when you have a, as we have been told, chronic wrist injury, that doesn't sound like it's going away, and it probably is a factor. But even still, let's take that out of the equation. That's a power position. I'm guessing that, you know, it was possible for the Diamondbacks to acquire the Naylor guy, but he's on an expiring deal. This is probably a case of Charrington maybe wanting his cake and to eat it too. With Horowitz, you get the contractual control, and that's what maybe tipped the scales, and I don't think they got the better player between Naylor and Horowitz.
I asked Limits the other day what he thinks of Nick Gonzalez, and he gave me the stock answer that I hear from Pirates fans, people around the team, and I have even said it at times. I like him. And I said, why? Like, he's okay so far. I'm open-minded about Nick moving forward. I want to see more. But quite frankly, I'm not seeing much from him. He seems to be an average defender. Not a ton of pop in his bat. He had a good run of clutch hits last year. For the 7th overall pick, I'm not seeing a ton.
No, for probably a number 7 hitter in your lineup, and that's assuming that he's an everyday guy. You do like the ability to hunt RBIs in crucial situations. That's something that is really not taught. You're basically born with it, and he seems to have that it factor. But, I mean, the jury, yes, still out. He's battled all sorts of injuries. But as we're trending right here, what does he wind up becoming? Is he at best a 245 hitter driving in, you know, 55 runs a year with 6 home runs in what still is at second base in offensive position when it comes down to it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's less than what you would expect from the 7th overall pick.
So far we've mentioned a 1 overall pick and a 7 overall pick. And, man, I mean, the whole infield, even including catcher, I believe the whole entire Pirates starting infield, if you either Bart or Davis, put one or the other, has combined for less than 10 home runs. 5 guys!
Well, I think that, I believe, 6 of the 9 hitters in yesterday's lineup had a OPS south of 700.
All right, well, that brings us to O'Neill Cruz. I believe they have 3 more years of control over him, if I'm not mistaken. Every time I think he's ready to move into that next stratosphere, he moves back into the previous stratosphere. I don't know about his about his command of the strike zone, about his pitch recognition, about his ability to hit lefties. I'm astounded that Don Kelly continues to bat him leadoff against lefties. It makes no sense. And I don't know, it feels like the George Pickens contract thing. I go back and forth every week. Is this a guy I want to put $150 million into?
No, he's not.
Your thoughts?
At this point, he's not investable. Just when to regurgitate what you said, just when you think he is, then that's plenty of counter evidence that he submits to make you pull back and click the pen closed. It's, let's wait a little while longer. No, I mean, he's really the definition of 3 true outcomes. Hard contact when he makes it, but that's far too infrequent. He does walk a lot. That's good. So the left-handers, you run him out there because of what he did last year in showing that he could hit left-handers, but he is definition of 3 true outcomes to the extreme.
Yeah.
And there's just way too much swing and miss to live. You can live with some if he's going to impact the baseball as he does and put up the numbers that he does at times. But it's still, when you average it all out, it's still far too infrequent, and he's still underperforming as to what his capabilities are. So at this juncture, no, not investable for that length of time.
I thought I heard Joe Block say last night on the broadcast that O'Neill Cruz both makes the hardest contact in baseball and the least amount of contact. Yeah. Is that right?
That's why I say the true definition of 3 true outcomes. It's basically homer, strikeout, walk. He is the embodiment of that. And again, far too infrequent contact for you to say, all right, this is investable, because when you're making such infrequent contact, you go away for 3 weeks at a time.
Right.
And if you're going to be 3 weeks off, 1 week on, I mean, that ratio, that's a 75-25 off versus on ratio. That needs to be a bit more balanced.
Well, this was depressing, Dan. Are you doing post-game tonight?
I sure am.
I think you're going to be talking about a no-hitter.
Why not a perfect game at this juncture?
I honestly think that if the Pirates get a hit tonight, it's going to be something lucky. Maybe they get two or three. I think you might be talking about a no-hitter tonight. But thank you for coming in. I appreciate it. That was fun.
Yeah, perhaps the ghost of Tabata will come and save us all with his
That's
elbow
what
guard.
I said. His elbow guard. Right. Or Aki's knee brace might come in handy tonight. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
That's Dan Zangrilli. Hear him on pre and post today. And the post game is just a must listen with Chuck in Uniontown often batting leadoff, even against lefties, just like O'Neill Cruz.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And the big boy is next. Let's dive into some Steelers. Are they really better than they were last year? The big boy thinks that every player on the team is great at this point. I'm going to ask him if there's any starter that he doesn't think is a good player. That's coming up next on Pomp and Joe. It's 12:30. Time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums. 724-443-5610. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And listen to this. Our first two finalists have been selected. Now it's time to see who's next up on the fan. Come on out to Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg, Thursday, June 26, 7 to 9 p.m. to audition and see if you're the next Mulsey, the next host we hire on the fan. You'll get 2 minutes to give your best, most entertaining take, and we'll pick two winners to go on to our final audition. Don't miss your chance. Thursday, June 26, 7 to 9 p.m., Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. For more information, including dates and locations, visit 937thefan.com. I'm noticing that ESPN put out an all-quarter-century NFL team here. Do we have the big boy on the line, Sean? Don't call me Seth Meyers.
We absolutely
there
do.
There he is. There he is. Mark Cabali. He's on also on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider of over 50 years. Big boy, did you see this list, this quarter century team?
I did not. I'm guessing probably no Steelers, huh?
So far I see one. The only rule here is that, you know, they could pick a guy who started out in the 90s, but it's solely based on your production from 2000 on. And there are two Steelers who are starters here. Would you care to guess who they are on the quarter century team?
I would probably say Paul Amalu, but I would guess he'd be number two behind Ed Reed, considering how these polls normally work out.
They have four safeties on the team, and Paul Amalu is one of them. You are right. It's Ed Reed, Paul Amalu, Brian Dawkins, and Earl Thomas, the third. Very good. Who's the other Steeler, the only other Steeler on this team?
It should be Pouncey, but it probably won't be. I would probably say Fanica, maybe.
Very good. You're on top of this, big boy. You think that Pouncey should be above Jason Kelce? They only chose one center.
Oh, they only chose one center.
Yeah.
Okay. I think they're comparable. Different eras, so to speak, different decades. But, I mean, I think we sleep a lot on what Pouncey was able to do as a rookie and how he, every single season, he played more than, I think, seven snaps in a season.
Yeah.
He made the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, the Pro Bowl's not all pro. I do hear you, though. Do you think they would have won that Super Bowl if Pouncey had played against the Packers?
Well, maybe that first play or that first, second, or third play would have turned out differently than a pick, right?
Right. If
old Bronco wouldn't have got pushed back into Big Ben's arm and it was intercepted. So it's hard to play hindsight, but Pouncey was much better than Doug Ligursky. So it could have been. It could have made a difference.
Well, they have four edge rushers. Should T.J. Watt be on this list? They have DeMarcus Ware, Jared Allen, Miles Garrett, and Julius Peppers. And then their, quote, practice squad is T.J. Watt and Michael Strahan. I'm sorry, but Watt should be ahead of Garrett.
I think Strahan probably should be up there, too. I don't know where you slot him in that, because Peppers was pretty good. And the other two were significant players.
Hall How does Famers. Jared Allen get on this team, first team
he's
ahead
a Hall of Famer?
He's ahead of Watt? He's a better player than Watt, in your opinion?
Oh, no, I don't think so. But the love of Miles Garrett goes, it spans far and wide, Joe. So I wouldn't be shocked at that name on there.
I can't
People
believe
act
that.
Like he's so much better than T.J. Watt. And when you look at statistics alone, he's not better than him. And when you look at win-loss records, even though T.J. hasn't won a playoff, it's better than Miles Garrett. Where's Miles Garrett better than him at? I don't know.
You could make an argument. I think you can make an argument that as just a pure pass rusher, that Garrett, you could say, I don't know that I would, but I would hear you if you said, yeah, just as a pure pass rusher, he's better. But as an overall football player, pass rush combined with everything else, evidenced by the fact that TJ has seven career interceptions and Miles Garrett has none. I mean, TJ's forced more fumbles. He's recovered more fumbles. He has more interceptions. He has more tackles. Come on.
I mean, don't forget about that record when he's doesn't play either.
Right.
What are they, 1-9 when he doesn't play? Miles Garrett won 10 games in his career yet? Woo!
I don't like that at all. Meanwhile, go ahead.
That's not surprising, Joe. I mean, the love affair for Miles Garrett is just out of control. Good player, but...
He's a great player. I mean, that...
Yeah, great player, but... I mean, we're talking about all-time best in 25 years? I don't know.
The linebackers on this team, Ray Lewis, Bobby Wagner, Brian Urlacher, Levante David, and Luke Kuechly, with Derek Brooks gets rendered to the practice squad. That's got to hurt, huh?
First of all, I probably would have renamed it something other than the practice squad. That's sort of a...
I know, right?
Right?
How about honorable mention? Something like that.
Yes, practice squad. That's a little low blow. But all those guys are very, very talented. I mean, Derek Brooks, I guess you could make an argument. I was always iffy about Kuechly until you really dove into those numbers. And he had a longer career than you might have thought. So I think he's worth it. But I don't even think he's not in the Hall of Fame. So maybe I would have picked Derek Brooks over him. But
oh, guess who else got on a practice squad? Return specialist is Devin Hester. And our friend and yours, Cordero Patterson, made the practice squad of the all-quarter century team. I love
Hall
that.
Hall of Famer. That's what they've told us for the past year and a half. He's a Hall of Famer.
He is?
Who's third on the depth chart right now at kick returner.
I'll give you money if you can tell me who the long snapper on the all-quarter century team is.
My. Probably Wrong. The guy from New England.
Wrong. Morgan Cox from the Ravens and Titans.
I know why you
No, I just wanted him to guess, see if he could guess it. That's all. Who's the coach?
Who's the guy from the Patriots?
I don't know who their long snapper is.
Well, he's in all the photos of jumping on Vinatieri. I can't remember.
Who's the offensive coordinator on the all-quarter century team? You tell me.
Randy Fichtner.
We should do the anti all quarter century team, and Matt Canada could be their coordinator. No,
would you take Fichtner over Randy? I mean, would you take Fichtner over Canada?
Yes, of course I would. Everybody would. I would take Harry Callis over Canada as my coordinator. No offense to him. No. That's a good... No, Harry Brian Billick... Brian Billick did his work as a coordinator in the 90s, not the 2000s.
Was it? I don't know. It was in Minnesota, wasn't it? I don't know what the exact
You've gone nuts.
Was.
Kyle Shanahan.
What am I talking about? 97, 98? I'm not that far off.
Wade Phillips is the defensive coordinator. And if you guess the special teams coordinator on the all quarter century team, again, I'll hand you a check. Maybe a blank
Mike
check.
Mike Westhoff. Is that
no, Dave Tube.
Never heard of him.
You put Dave Tube and Morgan Cox together, you've got a hell of a special teams unit. Huh, big boy?
I'm guessing Vinatieri's on there. And
you'd be wrong about that. I'm surprised. Well, I am surprised at that. They have Justin Tucker as the kicker. You could make an argument for Boz if you're just talking about most accurate, but Vinatieri should be the guy, shouldn't he be?
You would think so, especially after the recent developments with one Justin Tucker. Alleged developments.
Meantime, big boy, you think every single player on the Steelers is great. Is there anybody every time I see a Steelers Depot headline, it's Kabali. Roman Wilson looks fabulous. Kabali. Caleb Johnson is a star in the making. Kabali. Aaron Rodgers is disproving everybody by being one of the guys. Kabali. The first round pick is a star in the making. Kabali. Patrick Queen with a big reap. Is there anybody on this whole team that you think is below par as a starter?
Yes, but you don't see me writing about that because it's the positive time of the year, Joe.
Who?
I try to stay a positive.
Who?
You know, OTAs, mini camp, you focus on the positive. We can get to the negative in September and October and even into August. That's my new way of thinking. But, yeah, of course.
Who? Who's a below par starter for the Steelers?
You put me on the spot here.
I mean, whoever their second receiver is, right? Maybe the quarterback. I mean,
although I do like what Calvin Austin's been able to do, but I wouldn't quite list him as a number two.
Would you sign him?
I think that is so difficult. I would probably really, really think about it because you talk about TJ Watt getting done cheaper. You get this guy done in August, early September, he's going to be a bargain. If he goes out and has a pretty good year, which it could be, then he's going to get paid in the offseason. He might be a guy that wants some bucks right now. I mean, what was he, a third, fourth round pick? Probably didn't make a ton of money. I would really contemplate that, and a lot would have to do with what he looks like in training camp and into the preseason. But I would really give that a thought.
How about Big Play Slay at age 34? You confident in this guy?
I ain't confident, no. I mean, I'm confident that he's better than last year, but
is he?
You don't see right. I think he's better than Dante.
Dante Jackson.
I already eliminated him from my mind.
I know they call him Big Play Slay. He had no interceptions for the first time since his rookie year. What do you make of that, Sean? Don't call me Seth Meyers.
Time for a new nickname for him. It sounds like
Small Play Slay. I don't know. I don't know about this guy, big boy. 34.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know. No, I mean, I think he's a good, decent cover guy, but 34, you can go down the hill real quickly there, man. You can, as soon as you lose your legs, and they go pretty quickly when you're in that spot. I know Joe Hayden used to talk about that all the time. I can still run with these guys, and I'll keep playing until I can run with these guys. Then all of a sudden, one day, he can't run with these guys, and you're gone. And I think that's what happened to Patrick Peterson. You can't really get anything off of what we saw the past 3 or 4 weeks because they don't do very much. But that's a guy you got to keep your eye on in training camp, preseason.
I mean,
definitely.
Omar Khan's big moves during his era here at corner included signing a broken-down Patrick Peterson, signing a broken-down Cam Sutton, trading for a soon-to-be-broken-down Dante Jackson, signing a maybe broken down Darius Slay and drafting Joey Porter with the 32nd pick. He ain't exactly distinguishing himself here at that position.
I wouldn't quite just say Omar Khan.
I know it's Mike Tomlin. Yes, and Mike Tomlin. Yeah. Maybe Mike Tomlin more.
something tells me that Patrick Peterson was a Mike Tomlin guy.
Yeah.
A pick, right?
That's one of the most amazing, one of the most amazing things to me is that Tomlin cut his teeth in the NFL as a secondary coach, and he can't recognize or develop talent at that position, seemingly.
I think it goes back to, I really don't blame him from developing. I've said this a lot with quarterbacks and everything else. I blame him for putting people in position to hire guys who can produce or can develop players. That's where it's coming up short, right? I mean, Mike Tomlin's not going to develop a quarterback. He's going to hire somebody who can develop a quarterback, and that's where the disconnect's been.
All right, how about Joey Porter? I think it's this guy in his career has 18 penalties and 2 interceptions. That's not the ratio you want.
I thought that was just last year. Didn't he have like 16 penalties?
Last year,
against the Bengals last year?
Last year was 10-1. The year before was 8-1. Listen, he had some good games, but I think he undeniably took a step back. And I think that's one of the biggest issues with this team is how does he progress here? Are you concerned?
I don't know about concerned. He definitely didn't take a step forward. Put it that way, he might have stayed even. Maybe that's why they brought in Gerald Alexander. Probably one of the reasons, not the main reason, they bring in Slay, because they know this guy. They're going to have to make a decision on Joey Porter. What, next year? Next year? Yeah, it's his third year. I think he has all the talent in the world. He has the size, the talent. He learned how to tackle after those first 4 or 5 games his rookie year. If he could just get down the technique of not grabbing, holding, and committing penalties, I think he's a mid to upper level cornerback. But he definitely, you're right. If you're looking at one position where you're like, this could go south pretty quickly, and it has to be cornerback, even though Trice looks good, but you can't rely on him, right? I mean, it looks like a decent position, but there's definitely question marks there.
Thank you, big boy. You're a patriot, a philanthropist, a spiritual guru, and an example for all, including intern Dom.
I see Seth Meyers keeps you on track, unlike Limits, huh?
That's probably true, man. Yes. Limits is on vacation. No wiffle ball for 4 whole days.
He sent me a picture, says he's at Geneva Beach. Is there a more Yinzer place to go, or Western Pennsylvania than Geneva Beach? At least go to Ocean City. That's the second biggest.
I know. If you're going to drive, although I've never been to Geneva Beach, and this is certainly no comment on that, but if you're going to drive with your buddies on a road trip, yes, don't you head down to North Carolina or something?
Don't you head up to Erie, head down to... head down to where the Mon and Yawk meet. Wait, that's McKeesport.
Well, especially with the money that Limits is making around here these days, you'd think he'd go somewhere prestigious or prestigious.
I hear he has personal appearance fees now.
He's gotten big. Yeah, him, Donnie Football, a lot of, and the guy we're going to bring in, Callis, for sure. Did you see the statement that Callis put out the other day claiming he didn't make it?
I listened to that on the phone like a couple hours later, and I was in there with my kid, and he just finally said to me, why are they arguing so much over, I guess, the dog?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Are you ready to dive into the story, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.